Hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT Open Coaching Support Call for January 2018. I'm excited to have you here and to be able to support you in whatever way you need today and as always. So again, we're here for whatever questions you have. These calls, these Open Coaching Support Calls, are for questions about particular course content, about particular labs. If you have some labs you've run on a client, you want help with reading them. If you have a particular new client, existing client that's presenting in a certain way, or you're thinking about taking somebody on, it's there. And if you have any questions about getting your business out there and really getting yourself known and compensated for what you do best. So I'm here to answer questions. I'd love to share successes as well. So the way that we can do that is if you are live on the line and I see you, you can wave to me and I'll make sure I open up your line. You can also open up your own line. And if you're on the call without a video, then you can just raise your hand and we could talk and you might be able to turn your video on so we could see you. I really like connecting when we're having the conversation. So if at all possible, it'd be great for you to open up your lines. So who has any questions or comments first of all? See if there's any that come in right away. There's a raising hand function. What is it? *6 on the phone, Lynn. And then there's just right next to your name. If you go there on the control panel,
*6 will mute you, but *9 will raise your hand.
Okay. Well, there you go. So I spoke. I never have called in on one of these lines, so I have no idea. So it's a new year. And, you know, people are really renewed at the beginning of a new year to start to take care of themselves. It usually wanes by the end of January. So beginning of January is a good time to catch them when they're on that upswing and start to talk to them. I mean, it's really a good time if you've considered doing any kinds of talks in your community for setting up those kind of talks, like, you know, jumping into your best new year ever, various health challenges they may be having, but it's a good time to do it. It's a good time to just reach out to people who you might want to call and say, hey, you know, I'm doing this health coaching and I'd really love to help you. Do you know anybody that could use some help with this and get to started to talk about what you do and who you are? And you don't have to be 14 steps ahead of people in order to help them. You don't have to understand every single lab that we teach in the program in order to be able to help them. You can get started wherever you are because you're usually at least 2 steps ahead of them. If you're not, then you're not the right coach for them. They need somebody who's at least 2 steps ahead of them. But you can get started. And then if you get stuck and you're feeling like, oh, this person might need labs, or they gave me their organic acid test, how do I read it? You've got these calls to come to get the support. You've got the Facebook group to go to put it out there. So who wants to get started and discuss anything? And Lynn, is there anything you want to say just as a get started here for the new year? It's only the second week of the year. And we've already had like 3 calls.
I think is it 2? I think this is our second, isn't it? It might be. I don't know.
No, last week we had a case study. Last week we had a case study. And we had the first of the Body Freedom Foundation's calls. By the way, the case, I literally spent like probably 6 or 8 hours on the calendar for this year. I sat with one of my team members and I went back myself trying to separate the calls so that you wouldn't have 2 of the same calls for the same program on the same day. So we really worked on that and tried to spread them so that they were out. Of course, there's going to be times when it's impossible. If there's a short week, if there's a holiday, if there's travel, but we did our very best to spread the calls out so that every week you have an opportunity to get support. I mean, I don't think there's a single week that goes by that you don't have an opportunity to have some kind of call that you can get on and get support. So we tried really hard to do that. There's 2 or 3 retreat days that you get in the program, and those are all scheduled out too. If you go onto the site and you click on where it says calendar at a glance or something, and you can actually, that links right into my Google Calendar that houses all of that. And you'll be able to see what all those were, where those things are. They will be put on the schedule. We usually put the schedule up to date maybe 3 months in advance. I'm working with my team to try to get that up to date. And every week in the newsletter, we'll give you a week at a glance, what's coming up on the week ahead. So we're really trying to keep you informed. We do try to get you reminders right before each call because I know how busy we all get and it sometimes helps that way. We're thinking about looking into how do you do that with text reminders. Is that something anybody would be interested in? I know personally when I sign up for something, if they send me a text reminder, my phone beeps. I go, oh yeah, I forgot I wanted to be on that call. So that's a good way to do it. And we've been doing it in Facebook as well. So some of you I know don't do Facebook or aren't glued to Facebook like others are. So we're trying to just get it out there so that you, you know, we trigger it in your mind to come to these calls. It's a valuable part of your learning process. So I know a lot of you new guys have been on over and over, and I really appreciate seeing you enthusiastically here. And there's going to be times when you'll miss because there's schedule conflicts and there's so many of these calls, but we've stacked them so that there are so many. Tomorrow, I'm very excited about the call we have with Dr. Alan Hopkins. And it's on advanced cardiovascular testing. So what your doctor isn't telling you about cholesterol or something like that is what it's called. And he's an ER doc plus an integrative medicine doc. So nice combination. And he does, he has a service now that's competitive basically with Direct Labs, where it's, you can actually get direct access to labs through him, and he's setting up panels. We don't have all the panels figured out yet. We're hoping to get those done really soon so that you can do that. And then you can actually set up under me as long as you're associated, even if you're not a licensed, you know, MD, nurse or somebody who could generally order labs, you can get set up under me and have your own panel. So when you send your clients there to get testing, they can go and see your pretty little face there and say, or your handsome face that says, hey, you know, Susan's lab panels. And then it has the panels and it would be whatever panels I've put under mine. And so I'm open to suggestions from all of you. We have a cardiovascular one. We have a lipid one. We have the general one. We have a deep, you know, like an in-depth comprehensive one so far. And we've got to juggle them a little bit because they're not quite right. But anyway, that's a new feature that we'll be offering you guys. And he'll be the one to talk about. Well, he's not going to talk about that tomorrow. He's going to be talking about the testing, but I'll make sure he puts a plug in for it afterwards. Questions, comments? Lynn, do you have anything to contribute at this point?
I was just going to say, and you probably, I know you've heard me say this before, and others will probably have heard me say this or will be saying this. And especially if you were just listening to either of the Facebook lives that Dorit Marie did earlier today, this is a year for us to really embrace us as those who are women, our feminine power, those who are men, that feminine side of them. And it's really a year for us to really break out of that cocoon and fly like a butterfly and really taste the sweetness out there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's my plug.
Yeah. For those of you who did listen in today, we had some Facebook lives on the marketing side. And unfortunately we had the only time I could get the both of them, we were planning on scheduling them a week apart, but their schedules didn't work for that. So they were back to back, but just both similar perspectives on, we don't have to market in that push it down your face cutthroat way. And we see it a lot on Facebook. We see it a lot in a lot of the more masculine, and I'm not just saying males, but masculine approach to traditional approaches to business, which is, they got to do this now. It's the best thing you ever did. But as opposed to what both of them came across with was just being in that real you state and really connection with the person is going to help you know what to say. And if you connect with people and you're truly there to help them, then they're going to gravitate towards you. And a lot of us get caught up. We really have that intent and that desire in here, but we get caught up in the fear, right? They're not going to like us. They're not going to want to work with me. I'm going to say something wrong. I don't know enough. And we get caught up in that and we're in here. And that's a selfish perspective, right? That's all about you. And when you're talking to somebody, whether you're talking to them to give them specific advice or whether you're talking to them about whether it's going to be a good idea to work with you, it's really about them. And that's what they have to feel, that you're just there for them. And you've got to go in there not caring if they sign up, because you really do care and you want them to if it's a match, but being, what's the word I want to use? Not separated from it, but unattached to the outcome.
Right.
And yeah. And one of my mentors, Bill Barron, he does, and you've got a sample of him saying this actually in the site on the PBSS site on the enrollment conversations. Bill Barron, he said to us on this call, he goes, look, your job on an enrollment conversation is not to enroll them to work with you. And we're like, what? I thought that was what it was all about, is to enroll them in working with me. Your job is to enroll them into the vision of what their life could be like if they solve this problem. Your job is to enroll them into the concept of they need to get help, whether it be with you or somebody else. But you want them to come away from that call knowing that this is an important thing that they need to resolve, and that their life is going to change dramatically when they do, and that there's hope for them, there's a chance for them, their body can heal. That's what you want them to walk away with. And if they walk away from that call without the concept of they're going to work with you, but they have that, then you've been a success. And some will, some won't. Oh, well, move on. I had a conversation with somebody like that. It was like, we really connected. This was great. I gave her some great suggestions, and she didn't go on to work with me. And I was like, oh, too bad. What did I do wrong? Right? What did I do wrong? Why didn't this work? She wrote to me a year later. She says, thank you for that 45 minutes I spent with you. It changed my life. I've now done this. I've done this. I've done this. My life is this way. My health is this way. That's all she needed. Not everybody needs us. They need that spark to know that it's what's possible for them. But like me, I was a self-starter, right? I just was like, I'm going to find this out. I'm going to do it. A lot of you are that way. And a lot of the people that come in, and you're going to be that spark. I've had that happen before at a talk I gave. 9 months later, I get this call from this guy who lost 40 pounds as he was off all his cardiac medication. Thank you. All he did was come and he joined my newsletter and started reading everything I wrote and paid attention. Then there's going to be those, like those of you who are coaches in ERC right now know, they spend thousands of dollars and we still are having a hard time getting them showing up and doing the work, right? So the success of that call is not whether you have a check in your hand or not, whether they've said yes to working with you. It's whether you've gotten them motivated and inspired to the point where they know they've got to take action. Then you've been successful. And when you go into the calls like that, it's very different. When I started going to calls like that, instead of me going, okay, well, you want to work together? Here's what it would look like. I'd be going and they go, I want to keep going with you. How do I do that? And then there were the ones who did it, and I went, whoa, what's wrong? And then it turned out they just did it on their own. So we have a job to do. We have a lot to share. Whether you're just starting out and all you've been doing up to this point is just being the advice line for your family and friends, and you're ready to step out there, we have a job to do. And I would love to see all of you commit to getting out there and doing some kind of a talk, whether it's to your church group, whether it's to a women's group, whether it's just to your family members, whether it's to the community, anything that talks about the possibility that this body has when you get out of its way and when you actually shift gears and start treating it like this self-healing mechanism it is, as opposed to this thing that needs tons of drugs and surgeries to get it out of trouble. Right? So when you can start talking that way, even if it's just talking in the bus to somebody, talking in the elevator to somebody, you got to get out there and start talking it, because the world needs us. The world needs what we do. So my little spiel. Susan L. Okay. Open up your line. Yes.
Okay. There we go. Thank you so much for that pep talk. I just need to hear lots of that. I'm attempting to step out.
Good.
So I just have a couple of little questions as I'm still learning to navigate around the NEP program. I noticed that there's a monthly journal I'm supposed to be filling out.
Hmm.
Yes.
Did you get an email to it?
You did. So do I wait for the email, or am I supposed to remember to do this?
Oh, no, we send you an email. We send you an email, and then we send you two reminders after that. And you know what?
Okay.
I'll tell you a funny story about those journals. we set it up so that, that it would like send you an email. And if you didn't do it next day or like sent two or three emails. Well, one day when I first set it up, I made a mistake and the looping, it was happening. It was looping. So instead of go back into the beginning of the month, it was sending over and over. So people got like 10 or 12, remember that? 10 or 12 copies of that, like within an hour of each other.
Oh my gosh.
And you know what? I had more journal entries that month than ever before. Right? I don't want to send you 10 or 12 reminders, but, and I respond to them. Sometimes I'm in the middle of something, so I don't respond right away, but I read them and I, you know, even if it's just a, hey, great job or how's it going or whatever, but I read them all because I want to keep up with how you guys are doing. Okay. Now, if everybody in the program started doing them and they all did them on one day, I'd have to get Lynn and Jan and a whole bunch of other people to help me do it. But right now there's not that many. It's maybe a dozen actually I get every month. So, but it's a way for you to say, here's how it's going. Here's some of my questions. Do you have to do it every month? You know, of course not. I mean, it's for your benefit. And it's when you have questions,
right.
It helps me to keep up with where you're at, what you're doing, what you're studying, and, you know, what your concerns are.
Cool.
I recommend to people that they write on the 31st or the 30th of their calendar. They write it on there or you put it in your Google calendar, whatever, you put it in there to fill it out.
Yeah, it usually comes around the 31st of the end of the, so it's the end of the month.
Oh, I'd be happy to fill it out. I just was, I don't know what, I was, just surprised me. It's like, oh, I got to do that too.
Okay, well, it's not a got to, it's a get to. It's not a got to, it's a get to.
I actually like filling them out because it makes me stop and think. And
yeah. And celebrate your accomplishments. There's a place to celebrate your accomplishments. Yeah. Share what's concerning you and what you need help with. Yeah.
So another question. I'm kind of coming into the home stretch of the CMDS, and I am all the way to that food allergy module that I did today. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that there's like a zillion assessment forms. And there was at least one that was on a slide that I couldn't find. What was it? Detox capacity or something like that. So my question is there some place either on the INE or the BLM site mm-hmm. where all of these assessment forms are bunched up that I just don't know about yet?
Yeah, it's module, is it 4, history taking? Yeah, there five, module 5 is history taking and all the forms that we give you throughout. Now we give you 2 in the digestive, we give you digestive.
Wait, in the NEP but, program, module 4?
Yeah, module 5.
Okay, yeah, that's not open to me yet.
Not yet. So in the digestion, there should be a setup that says assessments and all the assessments should be in there.
It was just this one particular one.
Oh, that detox capacity would probably have been just in that module because I don't think it was part of, because it was part of food allergies and detox and all that. And it's basically an assessment where you want to get an idea of it. Are there possibilities that they have impaired methylation pathways or other pathways based on their previous history with doing detox?
Okay.
Yeah. And it's, you know where else it is? I don't know if they have access to that yet. Do they have access to the assessments one? When we have the new one done, we'll give them access to that, the discovery one on ERC. They're all in there too.
Okay, well, I'll go looking for it again.
Okay. So it was on a slide, but you didn't see it in the module. So if that's the case, then we need to put it in the module. Okay. Will you make a note of that, Lynn? And we'll just, we'll look if it's very easy for us to find it and upload it to that module. If you only saw it on the slide.
Yeah, on that food allergy that I was in the NEPT CMDS and then in that food allergy module, I think it's module 19, I think.
Okay.
It sent me over to VLM for the food allergy.
Yeah, program.
Program, yeah. There's 2 videos on that program, and in the first video, towards the end, there was
But there wasn't a copy of that assessment on that page?
I couldn't find it. unless I just flat out.
We could put it in the, did you look in the done for you page for CMDS? Because there were a bunch of assessments on there.
Oh, I looked at that a bunch, but okay. I guess I didn't.
Well, that would be a best place to put it probably, because that's where all the assessments really are together.
You said this is the food allergy resources?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take care of it. No problem.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. I was just, there's so many places to look for things. So I'm still trying to learn my way around.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for all these fabulous talks you're doing with all these speakers and all. It's just so cool.
Oops, she faded out. Thank you for all these fabulous something. You kind of garbled out. Thank you for all the fabulous something.
Am I back yet?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I'm out in the country and my internet is sketchy at best. No, I was just saying thank you for all the fabulous guest talks and all been having lately.
Good. Thank you. I'm glad you like them. All right. Great. Thank you, Susan. All right, so put her hand down. Who else? Questions, comments? Where do I see? I see Lynn and Brandon and Janet and Kimberly and Susan L. we just talked to, and Tanya and Valerie, and then a few phone numbers, 704, 720, and 858. So who has something to say or ask or topic to discuss? No, you guys are all good?
I have something to say.
All right. You look like you're eating dinner. Are you going to share? Looks yummy.
Well, I'm having this yummy adzuki bean miso soup with kale and carrots and sprouted tofu. It's yummy. But I wanted to tell you that when my father went into hospital last month, he went into emergency with the flu. Mm. And fortunately, he got there early enough before it became pneumonia. Mm. But it was interesting because I am signed up to the patient portal at the University of Colorado Hospital where he was. And my brother was there waiting to hear updates on various labs that they were doing. And I would get an indicator on email that a new biomarker had come in. So I would get the updates long before my brother, who was physically there, would get. And, you know, I could see the troponin levels going up. I could see what was happening with the CBC. His platelets were plummeting. It was really scary, actually. Mm. But it was just an interesting position to be in to see ahead of time that he was going to be admitted. There was no question that he was probably going to be going into cardiology. Mm-hmm. And all of that happened. And then I was on the phone with the doctor every day, and the doctor was very responsive to my father's medication list that I'd put together for him.
So this my father's list, right?
Yeah, supplement list.
Yeah.
And it was extremely responsive, and he would call me every day and give me updates. And at the same time, I had the cardiologist that I was talking to. So it gets interesting over time. People start understanding that you might know a little bit about what you're talking about, and they'll call you and have conversations with you. Nice. And know that you're liaising with the other doctor. And in the end, he came home after a couple of days, and I spoke with the medications person at the senior clinic where he goes, "Can you put her outside?" That's my dog barking. And she had said to me, she went through every single part of the medication list and said, "You know, your dad's really lucky to have someone like you to help him with all of this." Awesome. His recovery was phenomenal, Rita Marie. I mean, within a week's time, he was back up and running. I mean, he was at my brother's house for Christmas Eve. It was incredible. Yeah.
Wow.
And the good thing that came out of it, and, you know, this is, I guess, my takeaway in terms of, you know, negotiating with doctors about throttling back on medication doses. He'd had a stent put in 6 months ago, so he had to go on Plavix.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was supposed to go off of it at the end of January. On top of that, the doctor put him back on metoprolol and put him on a nitroglycerin drug because he started to have chest pain again after the stent had been put in. So, you know, I kept expressing my ongoing concern about my father being on Plavix beyond that January date. The metoprolol, the blood pressure was coming down a little too low. But then his doctor piped in with the same feedback, and then the visiting nurse who came to see him piped in. And so when my father went in to see the cardiologist the other day, I got on the phone with him before my father went in and expressed to him what the nurse and the doctor was saying, and he agreed to take him off of the metoprolol and the Plavix.
Wow.
So, you know, it really helps just to be tenacious.
Yes, yes.
You know? Absolutely. Because these are moving parts, especially when you're dealing with elderly people. You know, for some reason his blood pressure started to change and started to go on the low side. And, you know, these are the things that you have to watch out for and be flexible on, and hopefully have a doctor that's willing to be flexible with you. And this cardiologist will order any labs that I ask him to.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. And, you know, knowledge makes it go. If you just went in there and said, well, you know, we don't like these medications because they have side effects and we want them off, as opposed to you obviously know your stuff, you know, and the more you know about how it works, the more effectively and intelligently you can communicate with the doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
That's You're welcome. Amazing.
That's great. And thanks for the great work you're doing. I mean, congratulations on that. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Just keeping up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. Good job. Who else? You know, speaking of medication, I've been working with a guy and we're doing, he's diabetic and has high blood pressure and he's been on insulin and metformin and a couple of blood pressure medications, and he has ulcerative colitis. So it's a big combination, and I happen to be chatting with his wife about fasting and various things. And I said, his body needs a break, because he had been, you know, he did an SCD diet, did a little bit better with the gut. And then, you know, as soon as he was one of those, oh yeah, I did the diet for a while, I'm better, and now went back to his old ways. And of course, what happened, you know, fecal incontinence 10 times a day. I mean, what grown man needs to have fecal incontinence 10 times a day, right? So I started mentioning to her, and she said, well, I wonder if he'd be, I said, look, if he's interested, but I don't want to talk to somebody who's just calling me because his wife said they should. So a few weeks went by and he did call me and we had a conversation. He goes, she said, you did a 28-day water fast. That's what I want to do. I want to do a 28-day fast. Will you help me? And I'm like, well, let's talk a little bit here. You know, you have a pretty complicated case. I'd have to do a real big intake. I want to make sure on the medication. You got to talk to your doctors, etc. So he said, well, I can't do it until after the first of the year anyway. I said, well, I couldn't help you until after the first of the year. But if you want to play with it, I said, don't just jump in and try to do a long fast. You got to get your body used to it. So we put him on the, you know, a day of fasting, and he did well with it. Then he did a day of broth and smoothie, and then went back to fasting. And he just alternated it back and forth until right around Christmas. And then he went off all of it and started eating with his family. Not quite as bad as he used to. But in the meantime, just in doing that, like 10 days to 2 weeks of whatever various lengths of fasts, he dropped his blood sugars way down. His fecal incontinence went away. And occasionally he'd have it once a day. I mean, huge, huge changes in things that he thought he was just going to have to live with. He was mainly wanting to deal with the bowels. And so as of January 1, I've been guiding him, and he's been keeping really careful notes. And I said, you have to talk to the doctor about your insulin levels. I cannot carry you through this, because your doctor has to know so you can go ahead and decrease the insulin. Well, the doctor told him to go ahead, and he was allowed to decrease it by 2 milligrams a day. And as of yesterday, he's off insulin completely. And his blood sugar is below 100. It's 92, right? And his blood pressure is down into the, I want to say, medium to low normal range. So I said, the next thing you're going to have to start talking to your doctor about is that blood pressure medication. And then the next, he said he already talked to him about getting off the metformin, and they're going to do a weaning off that. And so this is 8 days of water fasting, major changes, major, off insulin completely. So this stuff is really amazing stuff, and this stuff can help a lot, but I wouldn't recommend any of you take on somebody like this and do a, you know, guide them through a water fast. I've got a lot of experience with this, and I've been doing this for a long time, and so I'm helping him, and I'm having him measure ketones. He just got his ketone meter in to make sure he doesn't get into ketosis, make sure he doesn't go into, you know, it doesn't get too low. There's a lot of things you got to watch out for, but this stuff works. I mean, just for him going on fasting a day and then vegetable broth and smoothies a day, you take somebody from the standard American diet and you gradually ease them into something like this, and their bodies respond phenomenally. So, I'm just so enamored. I'll tell you another good story. My husband last week, he says, I got a toothache. He says, I can't even stand it. I can't chew. He's like face hurting, swollen. Tried to get into the dentist, can't get in until the middle of this week. And this was last week. And I said, okay. So I gave him a protocol. I said, start taking vitamin C. I had him on liposomal vitamin C and regular vitamin C. And you can keep going on the regular till bowel tolerance. Do the liposomal every hour or so. Gave him Seeking Health has a turmeric curcumin liposomal. Turmeric liposomal. I had him on that. I had him on an enzyme it's a combination enzyme. It's called BCQ, bromelain, quercetin, curcumin and quercetin. And it also has boswellia in it. And, what else? And I had him do clove oil over the area and then ice cube. And the ice cube doesn't have to be all the way back there, but even if it's just on the gum line, it refers back. And he is now pain free. He hasn't been to the dentist yet, but he's pain free. Okay, still going to go to the dentist because there's likely an infection, but he might have cleared the infection because of what he was taking. He also was taking, I can't remember what he was taking. I just make this stuff up off the top of my head when I, you know, whatever I tune into what they really need. I can't remember, but some kind of antimicrobial. I don't remember what berberine. It might have been berberine that he was also taking. So this stuff works really well. I mean, acute care is not what we generally are the liaisons for, you know. It's more like the chronic, the, you know, the ongoing stuff, but the acute care stuff really does respond. And Lynn and I were talking about, once we get everything else finished, about adding a module on acute care, like, you know, first aid, natural first aid for various and sundry conditions. The reason I hesitate to do something like that is I don't want people thinking about this for that, right? You can give people Band-Aids when you're working on the root cause. So for him, it's like, why did that happen, right? What's going on in his system? Well, he's been fasting too. So he's working on root cause. So I know that for him. But I know that for some people, it's just, you know, get the flu, do the Band-Aid, get the flu, do the Band-Aid, and don't address the underlying reason why they keep getting the flu, right? So that's my concern with it. Somebody had their hand up. I saw a hand go up. Oh, chat. Oh, it was in the chat. I see. Susan, how exciting. Yeah. So, who else? I can just keep talking for an hour and making stuff up as I go along, or you guys can, I can just talk forever. You want to talk? There you go. Unmute. There we go. Susan, Kimberly.
Yeah. I was just was wondering if, on the website, if there's any place with meal planning, take mine.
Yeah, there is. It's on the foundation.
It's on the piece.
Okay. Yeah, so if you go to the ERC Foundations, it'll eventually be moved into our site and with a lot more, you know, directions as a practitioner. But there's a whole lot of meal planning. There's a whole module on it in the nutrition, and it's called meal planning, and it has menu plans and it has recipe guides. And I mean, you got to put your own stuff together, but it just gives you guidelines and stuff in there.
Okay. I'm personally having a hard time with it. I'm trying to move even more plant-based. I'm very plant-based, but I'm trying to get off the eggs and the butter. I think it causes acid reflux or something, throat clearing. It's just not, I noticed that after the fast I had some and wasn't good. And I just go on autopilot because I'm cooking different things for my family. And then by the time I'm done, you know, planning that whole thing and making it, I don't even want to pay attention to I just eat the same thing over and over, which is really stupid. And I just wondered if there was something I could tap into and just follow, you know, for a while.
I would say the blood sugar, the Sweet Spot Solution has a 30-day menu plan, and it has a 250-page recipe guide that goes with it.
Okay.
You can modify it a little bit. It's all plant-based. It all has the option of adding a little bit of, you know, free range and pastured whatever meat to it if you want, but everything's plant-based in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
So it lays out day by day. I'm going to be I look back through it and I think it's a little complicated at this point. I'm going to be simplifying it a little bit for this round. I'll probably be changing it a little bit, and we just put together a freebie that isn't ready yet, but it's on breakfast. Cause big thing is starting the day wrong. People start the day wrong. They start the day with these high carbohydrate breakfasts, or they go the other way and go high protein and then they just do, bacon and eggs, right? And, you know, I laid out what my idea of breakfast is. So breakfast should be protein, a good source of protein, preferably plant-based, but, you know, you can make your choice. So protein, fiber, not carbohydrate, fiber, right? Omega-3s. What was the fourth one? There were five. Probiotic. What was the fifth one? Or is it just four? No, I had the five, and now I can't remember the fifth one. Protein, omega-3 fats, and omega-3-6 balance. Fiber was the carbohydrate piece. So those are the three macros. Greens. Just greens. Like greens. I think every meal should have greens in it. And that's the biggest mistake most people make in meal planning, whether they're going plant-based or whether they're meat-based. They miss the greens at every meal. And whether it be at the first meal, be a smoothie, a green juice, a green powder, steamed vegetables, a sauce, stir fry. So I give some ideas in there of some other ideas. And it's a 5 days of menu plans for breakfast in that little booklet. So we've given it to our designer and she's going to lay it out and we'll be available within a few weeks.
Okay, that's great. And then what about if you're trying to, just gonna see who's in the house, if you're trying to kind of shift over your family subtly, you know, are there any good recipes that, you know, I don't know, work for doing that?
Yeah, it depends on where your stuck parts are. Like everybody, you know, everybody's different. So if you're used to giving them, you know, pasta and meatballs, right? You can go with getting a spiralizer and doing zucchini noodles.
Right.
Or some others, make a tomato sauce. You can still heat it up, pour it over the noodles. And then, you know, you make walnut meatballs. Mm. And there's a lot of things like that. So it's just, and it's, for me, it's a matter of sneaking stuff in. So if you're trying to get them to eat more vegetables and they just won't eat vegetables, so I would sneak some chopped up kale real fine in the food processor so it looks like little flecks of basil, and you put that in the tomato sauce. Mm. When I make pizza, I make a really cool no grain type of, you know, usually seed based pizza crust. Like I have a flax one, I have a Brazil nut one, and that's in a book called Dried and Gone to Heaven. There's a ton of pizza crust recipes in there. So I'll make the pizza, and in that crust recipe, I'll sneak in some chopped up real fine kale so it looks like flecks of basil or other kind of green leafy. And then what I do is I lay out the pizza crust, and then I put at the bottom underneath the cheese, I put a layer of flecked up ground up vegetables. So I do it in the food processor. Mm. And I'll make a cheese. So I make like a cashew or macadamia nut or Brazil nut or hemp nut, whatever kind of cheese. There's a lot of recipes for that in those books. And I put that on top. And then I make the pizza, right? So then it's hidden at the bottom. And then I'll add some kind of tomato sauce. And then I also do the overt vegetables for those of us who like it. For the ones that don't, you leave that off. You just put the cheese in the sauce. And they don't know that there's vegetables. For the rest of us who like vegetables on our pizza, my kids, at least my older kid, loves it. You know, mushrooms and broccoli and kale and whatever else. So then you saute up a bunch of vegetables, or you just chop them up however you prefer. You put them on top and mix it in with the sauce and cheese. And then I stick it in the dehydrator for about 2 hours. And it dries it a bit and warms it a bit. And it's delicious.
That sounds good.
So those are the kinds of transition. You like look at what your family's favorite meals are. And you think in terms of how do I sneak greens into this? How do I sneak more vegetables into it? I used to make a cookie. And I haven't done it in years, but it was like I took oats and whole oats, groats, and I'd grind them up, and then I'd grind up almonds, and I don't remember some of the other ingredients, but I'd make kale and broccoli and I'd grind them up real small and put that in there. And then I'd make this cookie and I'd bake it and I would serve it for the, I'd sweeten it with stevia or something. And I would, I think I sweetened those with dates. I think they were dates. So it held it all together. And I would serve that for the kids' birthday parties. And I will tell you, mom after mom after mom would come up and go, wow, those cookies are so good and my kids are eating them. Why, what is it? What's the secret ingredient? I'm like, you don't want to know, do you? Yeah. And they say, yeah, it's a kale and broccoli. And they're like, there's kale and broccoli in those cookies. Now I want the recipe even more. It's a way to get my kids to eat veggies. So those are ways to do it. You just find the foods they're already eating and you just sneak in to a point. I made, potato pancakes, which are latkes. But I don't use potatoes. So I thought, well, how can I do this differently a few years back? And so my husband is really the one that makes them for Hanukkah. And he was away and the kids were like, when are we going to get our latkes? It's Hanukkah. So I said, okay. So I made them and I instead of potatoes, I used broccoli, ground up broccoli stems. So I made the latkes and I put the onions and I put, you know, I made it exactly the way he always made it, but it had broccoli instead and they loved them. And it wasn't until we turned the lights back on because they had the lights low and the candles and they're clearing the table and the remnants are like, why are these latkes green? But in the meantime, they ate them, right? So, you know, making like a pancake with, right? So different things like that. I used to make all kinds of little pancakey, vegetable based pancakey things because that's kids like pancakey things for some reason. So I'd make these little things and then I'd, you know, put a little olive oil in the pan and stick them in the oven. I didn't fry things and do it that way. And other things would be like in tamales or tortillas or things like that. So it's like think about where they're at, what they're doing, what they will eat, and how can you just put a little bit and a little bit more and substitute out whatever they're already doing. I had the advantage of raising my kids from birth on a healthy diet. Not everybody has that advantage. You know, you kind of have done these things along and they're used to it. My kids didn't know what macaroni and cheese was. They never had Aunt Jemima pancakes with, you know, maple syrup. They never had any of that stuff. They just had healthy food. But I would use the tricks for tricking their friends.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did this one class when I used to do the classes at my home. I had this group come up and say, we really loved your class. And would you do a class for just my group of moms of kids with autism? I go, oh, that sounds cool. So we did this class and they're picky. And we had some great ideas and came up with some great recipes. And I'll see if I can find the recipe book I did for that and see if I can figure out what we did, but they really liked it. And they went on a buying frenzy. I used to distribute like the Vitamixes and dehydrators and all that. And like, I think I sold $1,600 worth of equipment after a class because they were like, I want one of those. Like, can you order me one? I want one of those. I want that. Now, cause they were so excited that they thought their kids would actually have some options for them to eat. If they like crunchy, you know, a lot of kids like crunchy and crackers. So easy to make vegetable based crackers if you have a dehydrator, if you don't get one, because it's so easy to just sneak the vegetables in and make them flavored however they like them. You know, Italian flavored, Thai flavored, Indian flavored, plain flavored, garlic, whatever they like.
My family likes vegetables, and my kids are, you know, in their 20s, so, you know, but I just want to, you know, I want some, like, heartier recipes with vegetables, and I just want to start, you know, kind of crowding out, as they say, putting more of that on the plate and less meat, you know, just kind of.
Oh, yeah. So there's a recipe book that has a lot of good hearty recipes, and they're really well done. It's Millennium. It's a restaurant that's in San Francisco.
I think I might even have that cookbook.
That book some of the recipes are complicated, but my son's favorite was the tamale tort. And it was basically, you know, it was beans and vegetables and, you know, cornmeal and all kinds of cool stuff. He loved that one. And there's all kinds of stews and, you know, stews are great ones. Crock pot meals are great, you know, just, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I need, things like that, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. It's hard to wean them off the meat and, you know.
Can imagine.
When you say what's for dinner, it's always it's chicken or it's.
Yeah, know, right. I always wondered about that. Like we always had all these other things with the meal, but that was the only thing they talked about. Oh, chicken for dinner tonight. Like, really? Okay. Yeah. Great.
All right.
Fantastic. Who else? Questions, comments, observations, thoughts, requests? We're going to be doing some Facebook Lives on a regular basis. I'm going to try to do one a week, and I want to hit topics that you guys really want to hear. Not that you guys are at a shortage of topics because you've got the whole course, but if there's any particular people that you're like, oh, I really want to hear from that particular speaker, topic, guy, you know, whether it be on the marketing end, whether it be on the, you know, the business strategy end or on the technical end. So we're just going to be bringing in short. They're not going to be long. I'm going to try them nice and short.
Rita Marie?
Yeah.
What about Datis Karazian?
Yeah.
Like someone for ACR or Facebook?
I can, yeah, he's on my list. I have a list that I've put together, my master list, and he's on that list. So I would check in with Laura. I mean, some of these guys are really hard to reach and hard to get. But I'll remind her. I'm going to sit down with her with that list soon because there's a lot of people on that list that she hasn't followed up with. So, yep, he's on that list for sure. Yeah.
And, so Bredesen's another one that would be on my wish list.
Bredesen. Yes. I would like to get him on. I'll add him to the list. Can you write that down, Lynn? And we'll make sure that Laura gets that to add to her list.
And, I'm just wondering about Bland.
He's already done it.
Oh, he has. Okay, that's right. Yeah. I remember now. Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of our first ones.
Can't get enough of him.
We've been trying to get Wright, Jonathan Wright, and Alan Gaby, but those guys are harder to get. I met Wright. I had a long conversation with him at a conference, and he said, yeah, I'd love to do it. So he said, reach out to my assistant, but my assistant's been reaching out to his assistant, and they ain't getting anywhere. So, yeah. Yeah, I have to run into him again and try. We've had Ben Lynch. He's on there. There's a few others that I've got on my list that I want to get in, but we haven't yet. So,
I really enjoyed the one you did with Hyla Kass.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really great. Good. Yeah. She's great. Yeah. Thank you.
And then are there any updates about the retreat?
The retreat is, yeah, the dates are set. Did you see the dates? Yes.
I did, yeah.
We, you know, put it on your calendar. It's for sure those dates. And I've got them. I'm still waiting on them getting the campaign in the background set up so that we can handle RSVPs and registration. You'll be going directly to the center for signups. So they'll basically have, you know, options for shared rooms or private rooms, and they include meals and all that. And then if you want to do the Laura one, we're trying to get that campaign set up so we can tell you the details about that, about her awakening class. Although we do have that little thing she put together. I suppose we could just post that, you know, with a little description. We could just post that to the thing, to the Facebook group, that PDF, pull it out because it's in a full PDF. But yeah, that day, the thing with Laura is going to be a really great 3 days of, you know, just really how do you break through those blocks with people. Mm-hmm. Similar to the level one that Laura, Lynn and I went to at her place in California.
Okay.
Which I think was transformational for me. That's really transformational. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So that's the update. So put it on your calendar. Make sure you're marked.
Definitely.
Calm down. It's a good time of year to be in Austin. It should be warm enough, but not too warm. Last time we had a retreat at this location was a few years ago, like 3 years ago, and it was March, and it was bloody cold. Oh, it was really warm the day it started, and we got down there in our, you know, and we all like, oh, even Lynn and I were huddled together going back to the room. She's like, it's cold. I'm like, you're from Iowa. You're not supposed to think this cold, but she thought it was cold. Cool. Thank you. Who else? Questions, comments? Yeah, Susan. Where are you? Go ahead. Unmute. I think I got you unmuted.
Okay. I just had a thought. I have a young friend who's 3 weeks postpartum with her first child. And she's interested in me helping her with some lab work and stuff like that. And she was asking me about getting her hormones tested. But she's nursing, so I wasn't sure how to answer that because I haven't really had.
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, I would wait.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I would wait. I mean, I would look at, okay, what's going on really postpartum, right? You've got these high levels of hormones that have to be broken down and eliminated. B6 and magnesium are usually very important for doing that. So, you know, I would looking at optimizing her diet and getting her on some B vitamins and magnesium, and then really looking at what's going on for her. What are her dietary constraints and all? I think that, you know, it's going to be, the test ranges are not set up for nursing or postpartum.
Right.
Set up for, you know, either menopausal or non-menopausal ranges, but you wouldn't know what, you wouldn't even know what to look for.
Right. Because that was my thought. It's like, whatever we come back with, it's like, well, what do we do with this information?
Yeah. If she has postpartum depression,
No, she does not.
Because I was going to say that's usually the inability of the body to efficiently break down those hormones, and a lot of the metabolites recycle and recycle and recycle. Wow.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I would look at her from a foundational standpoint. How is she going to be best nourishing herself to nurse that baby, to keep herself in balance? Look at basic stuff like thyroid.
Right, I was just going to ask that.
Thyroid for sure, because thyroid gets messed up during pregnancy. And if she has Hashimoto's, it does end up getting exacerbated, usually in the postpartum.
Okay. Excellent. That gives me a direction.
Yeah, that's what I would look at. I would look at standard blood chem and the thyroid panels, and then her diet, lifestyle, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, she's
depends on what symptoms, right? She's what?
She's got plenty of work to do in her diet.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's always a good
thing. I know that. I've got to get her to know that.
Well, you know what? If you take the CBC and if you run it through the blood chem software and you just look at the things that are out of range and you look at the report it gives, that will give you a good starting point in which case to talk to her about why she needs to change her diet.
She knows it in her head. It's just
the paper.
I know.
On the paper, and, right?
And her husband is the one that I was kind of waiting on that wheat zoomer test because I think if he's in his on paper that he has an issue with wheat, then he'll drop it. But until then, you know, it's a hard sell.
Well, she's coming by my office tomorrow in the morning to finalize whatever packet, whatever we have to do. I'm going to find out what we have to do to get, you know, you guys set up to order them. Okay.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Okay. We have Susan, Janine. No, yeah, Janine's open. There we go. Unmute.
Hello.
Janine.
First of all, I forget, I had to use my blood pressure medication yesterday and I think the day before, and I lost the link from the last call that you had Lynn give me a recommendation for a company for something else to replace it with instead of the medication.
Oh, the restorative formulations?
I don't recall what it was. My computer shut down and I forgot to save the link. And then I had cleared the history.
Oh, it's probably restorative formulation. And they have it's called HTN. And I think you go into their site and then you go into their site and don't share your screen. Oh, are you trying to share your screen? Suddenly my screen went blank.
No.
Yeah. Restorative formulations, look up HTN is the name of it. And when you, in order to do it, you have to log in, you have to create an account.
Okay.
Yeah. So just write it down.
Okay. And then thanks, Lynn, for posting that. And then what else? Oh, now I'm drawing a blank. Yeah. My blood pressure was like 169 over 96.
What do you think caused it?
Oh, somebody. Stress.
Somebody.
Instant reaction. I was like, okay, what's going on? So I went up, I laid down, I did my breathing for half an hour, 40 minutes, and it still wasn't dropping down. It went down to like 30, and then all of a sudden it climbed back up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this was going on. So I took it, but it gave me, I think, diarrhea. Mm-hmm. I've had like water. I must have lost, it felt like 20 pounds.
Wow.
And I did start some adrenal cortex. I'm just taking one in the morning. I don't know if it was from the medication or. If
wait a minute. You started adrenal cortex before the blood pressure went up or after?
No. No, the blood pressure had happened before.
Okay. Because adrenal cortex is very, very stimulating. Okay.
Yeah. No, this was a personal situation that's going on around here again. So I'm doing my best. Like I did my body foundations and all that. And, there's been some changes in my schedule around here. So it's going to be kind of harder to be studying and
getting
things done for me. Yeah. And I had planned out, you know, days and all that stuff, went to study and because I have my mentor work, I have a pretty big schedule. And,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you know what? My youngest daughter, she's great. She sent me a message because I told her I may have to stop studying, you know? And she's like, no.
No, not an option.
Not an option. She goes, you need to get that done and to move on with my life. So she was a great help to me.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so I'll figure it out. I just have to go through my moments and cry.
Just be careful with the adrenal cortex for everybody because, I've had situations with that. I only usually do it when I do an adrenal test and person's really flatlined because it's very stimulating. And people just throw it out like it's candy. It's just another supplement, vitamin C, adrenal cortex. And I had somebody who had, I've been working with her on stage three adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. And she came back in like 3 months later and it was like way over the top in one, like super high, dangerously high levels of cortisol. And I said, what the heck happened here? I mean, I put her on some ashwagandha, you know, various adaptogens and various things, but nothing that would cause that kind of a thing. She goes, oh, I read about this stuff called Cortef and I started taking it. I'm like, yeah, it shot her way into a type one, you know, so you don't want to get there because that's going to raise your blood pressure.
Okay. So it can raise blood pressure and the cortisol. So that would cause insomnia, right?
It causes insomnia. It causes, you know, all the stuff that cortisol causes, right?
Right.
Wait,
I just took one in the morning. I've taken it in the morning early. I get up anywhere between 5:30 and 7. And that's, I usually study for a few hours, you know.
Just be careful. I would usually only recommend you ever recommend that or use that when you have a test that verifies that you are in stage one and that you do very small doses and that you monitor really carefully and monitor your blood pressure, your pulse, your, all those kinds of things. Your blood sugar.
This one's, I think it says 50 milligrams. I got it from Seeking Health.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad product. I'm just saying
I just said the milligrams.
Not the right product for any particular, you know, for you at any particular time. So,
and I had found I haven't done it yet. I discussed it with Lynn. I found the lab for us under labs, the testing, the adrenal stress test. So, I got to figure out how, I guess I need to call them to set that up to get it done.
Oh, the one that you got free from Shine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the number there and you can get that test.
It's easier to call than do it online, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think I have to get that done. There's so much to get done. And this is where my brain kicks in that I get overwhelmed. And that's why I get over the map. It's like, oh my gosh, I have this, you know? So I just kind of just stop everything and breathe and just like.
Stop everything and breathe.
What's right now, you know, I mean, I have so many things, you know, and I can feel my hot flashes again at night and I'll check my blood sugar. I'll wake up at like 3 or 4. I've checked blood sugar. It's okay. This or that's okay. And it's like, what's going on? And so I've stopped, you know, pretty much just basic supplements, nothing added except this adrenal. To try that for a few days or a week and see how it goes.
Yeah, so here's the thing though, right? The power of stress, right? Look what stress did. It got you your hot flashes back, causing you to wake up. Your blood pressure goes up, right? It turns off your prefrontal cortex. So if you're trying to study when you're in stress, the prefrontal cortex is turned off.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah, not going to work. So you're right to go back to the breathing and just keep going back to the breathing and understand that that's where it's coming from. And just, yeah. Vitamin C would be a good adjunct. You're under a lot of stress. Anything, any of the nutrients that support the adrenals, the B5, the B vitamins, zinc, magnesium.
Yeah, I just got B5 in and some riboflavin. Let me ask you about B6. Is it best in the morning or evening?
Depends on what you're taking it for. For people who have difficulty making serotonin and have difficulty sleeping, in the evening works best because it's a cofactor.
Right, that's what I thought.
People who have trouble making dopamine, mm-hmm. It's best more mid-morning.
Mid-morning if you have problems making dopamine?
Yeah, and some people take it twice.
Oh, okay.
Some people take it morning and night. Depends on the situation. The micronutrients is going to be very illuminating for all that of what things, yeah.
Yeah, because I have two reports now. I did the Sterling report.
Yeah.
And it's showing a little bit more than what I got from Stratagene. Very interesting. I have the endocannabinoid also report that she gives with it, the cannabidol pathway. So I thought that was very interesting. I know you're working on that. Would you suggest a particular site or a particular way for me to research these? Because I was also thinking, this is kind of scary. I've been analyzing because this, my waking up, grinding teeth, all these different things. I do parasite cleanses, you know, watch my gut function, trying to do the right herbs, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I know de-stressing, but you know, I started thinking, it's almost like a mild seizure or something while I'm sleeping. And I don't know, like, I've used a little bit of the THC. I don't know if that's causing something because it shows quite a few red here on my cannabidiol pathway. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to back off that.
Yeah, I don't know. I would just start with going to Medline and doing some searches on it. I'm not really well researched on the cannabinoid pathways.
Yeah.
That was a new.
Well, I've got them here if you want a copy.
Well, I have them from my, from my report. I just haven't really studied them much.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, regardless of the pathways, it's going to go back to a lot of the same things. And the de-stress is the big piece, right? The de-stress, de-stress, de-stress. There was something else I was thinking about as you said that.
That's why I love the body foundations.
Have you done any cleansing or fasting?
I almost feel like I live my life that way. I don't really eat. You know, I've lost my appetite again. And so I'll make liquids and then sometimes I'll have some vegetables and I'll
right,
make
but
soup.
It's not a consistent thing because I know you've said that going off of gluten has not happened yet 100%.
No, so there'll be something like somebody makes something and
then
I'll
you
eat
it.
So,
yeah, so that's what I mean, like a time period where you are, this is it, I'm clean, I'm clear. Because I think what happens with your body, you do this and then boom, you're back off. Do this and it takes a while to get back off. Antibodies, you've got some Hashimoto's antibodies, I believe.
Yeah, they're down to 16, I think now.
Okay, but still there's autoimmune going on in your body. And every time you indulge, then those come back up again every single time. And so what I'm thinking, you know, like a bunch of us just did a cleanse, you know, 5-day water fast type of thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then following that with a very, you know, simple reintroduction of food.
Yeah. So like I said, I am planning out and I was thinking about doing that, like the water fast or something 1 day a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually supposed to be part of my religion. We do it twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I haven't done any of that. I got away from a lot of who I am.
Yeah.
And that's my goal again is to continue forward and to find myself.
Yeah.
Because I have so many opportunities in front of me. You know, your talk today with the lady, I missed half of it or most of it. I was caretaking for my mom today, but I got her book, the last one. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is so great for my mentor work because I have the community to do this. So my focus is just get my mental health. I can't look at the big picture right now. I've got to look at a small piece and just take it off.
Right. And the bit by bit, but really doing what you know. Mm-hmm. That's the first start. Like, we want to know more and know more. And if we're not doing the basic stuff, then it doesn't matter how much more you know.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I would suggest for you. So I'm going to go on to Sequoia. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay, Sequoia.
Actually, I found your information quite interesting about the feedback, you know, your measurements that you were taking during the fast. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's kind of stuff I like doing.
I know. I want more data points, right? I want to collect more data points so I know what to expect. Because as I was expecting, like, okay, so as the sugar goes down, the ketones are going up. And as my sugar started to come up, the ketones started coming down. And today was the first time I actually went over 100 and 102, and I was shocked, but I overeat. So I was really hungry, and I made some broccoli, and I turned it into a little broccoli soup with some hemp seeds, and then added, you know, this. But before it was ready, I munched on a little bit of almond cheese and a cashew cheese thing, and those things fill you up before you realize you're really filled from it. And so then I had the soup, and by the time I finished the soup, I'm like, oh my God, I feel overstuffed. And this is the first time I felt this way, you know, in a couple of weeks since doing this. And I took my blood sugar, and it was 102.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but for me, if I overstuff on vegetables, I'm fine. If I overstuff on fruit, I'm fine. If I overstuff with fat is the one thing that just shoots it up right up there.
For you,
110, maybe even, I've seen it go 120 sometimes. I've really been kind of studying this, why for some people fat works okay and for others it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's so many factors, but still, my gut feeling is long-term high fat, low carb is very wrong. I don't care what anybody else says. My gut feeling says this is the wrong thing to do long-term.
I think it depends on who the person is, but also how they do high fat, low carb.
Right? Yeah, if they cycle it, maybe. Yeah. But if they're not cycling.
But also what they're eating for the fat. Yes. Makes a huge difference too. Anything I eat is a whole food plant-based fat. I don't eat oils. I eat whole food plant-based fat.
And I'm even making that assumption that, you know, avocados, it's not oils, right? It's not any of the oils, because we know that the oils are concentrated, right?
Yeah, the oils are.
But it's going back to all those studies that, you know, when there's sugar and fat in the bloodstream
together, right?
That is a big problem, because the glucose cannot get into the cells because the fat blocks it.
Right. But if there's a low, that's where the low carb comes in, right? So if it's a low carb, so if I'm eating a meal that's a huge bit of vegetables with some fat, like I make a, you know, almond sauce for it or whatever, avocado, whatever. There's no sugar in that meal, right? So I'm not causing a problem. But if I do like the desserts where it's blueberries with the nut creams and the all kinds of things like that, right? That's sugar and fat. And I think that's a problem. That's my theory. That's okay, cool. Too many people do well on a plant-based higher fat, not high fat super, but higher fat vegetable-based diet.
Right.
Versus fruit and fat together, no. I don't think it's a good idea.
And it's also the timing has
bingo.
Whatever that you're having as carbs, because it's not just fruit, right? Whatever you're having as carbs, has that cleared out the system before you're having the fat? So yeah, these are all things I'd like.
Six to hours know. Between meals, and you don't have a problem, right? It's gone. It's yeah. gone, right? So I personally, if I'm going to eat fruit, I need to do it with a bunch of greens. So a big old green smoothie or a big plate of salad or something with the fruit, and then my sugars don't go up. And a lot of people are like that. So I still think it goes back to biochemical individuality. Like, we can't say high fat is bad or good. It depends on the person. High bad fat is bad. High oil is bad. You know what I mean? Yes. But if it's whole food, organic, plant-based fats, especially if they're nuts and seeds that are sprouted, and you know, yeah. that I'm not convinced that high fat is bad.
No.
As long as it's with tons of vegetables, not yeah. with the fruit.
And of course, you know, there's so many factors. Like, what if the liver's not working properly?
Exactly. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing I think people get into with long-term ketogenic diets. They don't check their liver health. And then somebody with a compromised liver, there's no way. But there are therapeutic benefits. And I was working with somebody who had both compromised liver and neurologic symptoms, MS type symptoms. And she tried a plant-based ketogenic diet, and it worked phenomenally. She got her speech back. She got her brain back. She was able to walk again. But then she started to double over with liver pain. Mm. So you have to figure out how to cycle her.
Right.
So she doesn't ever get there, but not after she gets the liver pain. So she was cycling, but it was cycling after she doubled over with liver pain. But you have to learn to cycle. And go, okay, this is going to be 4 weeks. Okay, now we're going to go 4 weeks here. Now we're going to go back 4 weeks. And she was juicing and everything else. She was doing all the right things, but that was a very serious situation. And she had horrible genetics. I mean, she had homozygous methylation SNPs all throughout the pathways. I mean, the in between, the arounds. I mean, she was, you looked at her thing and went, how is this person living? You know, she just had horrible, and she had heavy metals, but every time she tried, she was overweight, even though she wasn't overeating. And every time she would try to lose the weight, go on a cleanse, she would clear out the fat stores, all these toxins would get in her bloodstream, and then the neurologic symptoms would flare up. So we'd have to cycle her with detox and cycle her with.
Because we talked about, you know, clearing the carbohydrates before you take the fat, but you also have to clear the fat, which takes much longer in the system before you have the carbohydrates, right? Otherwise, you run up
the right, same. And those take a good 4 hours. So that's why I say 4 to 6 hours.
Well, no, fats can actually stay in the system till the following day.
Well, they're in the system, but out of the stomach, but. Where they won't mix. I mean, they'll get
food. Yeah, I'm looking at blood now. What's happening in the blood?
Mm.
Right. So we don't want them to meet in the blood.
Meet in the blood. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the ACR, I checked the again, and I still didn't have anything. None of the past.
Then I thought you got that fixed. I thought you told Doreen to tag her.
That wasn't Sequoia.
Yeah, it was. I told you it was Sequoia.
No, there are about three other people who are. So you don't have ACR?
Nope.
Because there's. Okay, because there are some people who. That's all they had was ACR. They didn't have any of the other recordings.
That's the only one I don't have ACR.
She had it and it disappeared.
I have the page.
Right, and that's what's happening with people is they'll either. So they'll either have ACR and special calls, or they'll have the NEPT and not the ACR.
So what's being done about this? I mean, it's a simple matter of getting in there and tagging people.
Right. I've just been telling Doreen, as people tell me, because that's the only way.
I told her to just check everybody. I said, check everybody in the program. If everybody, no, I told her that last week. If everybody in the program, check everybody who has an NEPT tag, and if they don't have an ACR tag, give it to them.
Can I just show you what I get, and then that might
help? Yeah, you get the screen with the list, but you can't click them.
This is what I get.
Okay, sure.
That's all I get.
Well, share your screen.
Yep, I see it.
Oh, I don't see it yet.
Oh.
I see it spinning.
Right.
Am I stuck?
No, I see it. I see it.
I don't see it.
Yeah, and yeah.
there've been, like I said, there've been other people who've been.
So what is she seeing? Is she seeing?
It just says advanced clinical resources, and then it says use the index of topics on the left, and there isn't anything there.
There's no index, no recordings, no nothing. So I have
right.
No,
so I mean, I could fix that in 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes if I had to. I just preferred to delegate it, but apparently I'll make sure it gets fixed for you.
Well, I'm just sending Doreen another note. So no, you, we'll get.
These guys are trying to keep my hands out of the back end, but
yep.
Nobody responding and fixing things quick enough. So
it's not that you can't do it. It's that you've got enough to do.
Not my job.
Right.
Everybody's frozen. Are you still hearing me? Are you seeing me?
Yeah.
I can hear you and see you. And
mine's seeing frozen. I don't know what's happening. Okay, something's here not responding. There's some big block in front of me. I don't know. I can't see anybody. I can't see your screen. So if somebody's hands up to get their percentage.
So but you calculate, so you add up like all the ones.
Yeah.
Plus all the twos.
Plus all the threes.
Yes. Okay. And then you add all those results and that's your score.
Yeah. So say it comes out to be 27, you know, for that section, right? Then you, calculate the